This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off hour two of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the John and Gordy Show. John, Gordy, and the producer Sam have some fun talking about the new bus rapid transit system in Madison, and then Gordy and Sam go back and forth with John over whether or not having Republicans is better than having a one-party state of Democrats.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show, and it's fun watching the buses go by, these big extended double buses.
BRTs?
The BRTs, yeah. You know, I went on State Street yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I was walking around doing the census, and I went up to one of the, what do they call them? The
bus stops?
Bus stop.
Yeah.
Well, I thought they gave them a special name, you know, maybe.
The BRT's bus stops.
Well, they gave them something. I mean, maybe, hey, that's it. We should name the bus stops.
Name them?
Oh, name them. Are you going to invent a new word?
Okay.
No, well, no, I don't, you wanna, no, it, no.
You like, want to name them individually?
Yeah, like the Antelope bus stop or the Border Collie bus stop.
Usually they're just named after the street that they're on, Sean.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that's
you
right.
You don't want to confuse anybody.
Yeah. So anyway, stopped by one of the bus stops on State Street.
Okay.
And I want to see how you pay for this stuff.
You just looked at it yesterday. You walk up to it. You hit a button, you put a credit card in, and then you get your ticket.
Oh, these young boys, they think they know everything, don't they?
It's simple.
Naive. Well,
did you ride the bus?
I walked up to the station there, and I looked at, how do you pay for the bus? How can you get your bus ticket for this? And I went up to the machine, and it said it was out of service.
No kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. On State Street, you can't pay for the bus because it's out of service.
It just have one machine per station?
Yeah. Oh. One machine. I hit the button anyway just because I was mad. And it said, this terminal is out of commission. All right. Okay.
You didn't walk to the next little bus stop station? Just to see if they
That wasn't my duty. This wasn't exactly something that I was driven to do. I was just near the bus stop. I thought, I'll see how they pay for it. How is it? Is it easy? Credit card, debit cards? Easy. It's very simple. But these machines have to be operable. And
was it the one right out here?
It's right down the street.
Okay.
Yeah, right down from the station.
We're still workshopping the plan for doing the show live from a bus. We ran into the roadblock of, we need an internet connection in order to get the signal back to the station here.
Yep.
But our wireless internet devices need to be plugged in, and they don't have plugs on the bus.
They don't.
Why would they?
They should have.
Well, why wouldn't they? People want to charge up
motorhomes have plugs on their motorhomes. It's not
the regular
like
buses
a new
have
invention.
Them? So that you can just, I don't know, plug in a lamp or something?
No, plug in your charger, like your phone charger.
Yeah, they might have USB ports.
Oh.
But.
Well, Dylan Brogan could have told us that, city promoter. We should have asked him that. That's a good question.
Well, we can get in touch with them. We'll get them back on.
Yeah, here we're talking about the BRT, and we haven't even done our musical intro for it. So I guess we missed that opportunity.
Okay,
again.
Well, let's get to it.
I'm kind of crow.
What?
it's so old at this point that I've unloaded the clip and I got to go dig for it.
Oh. Unloaded the clip? I thought you had them like in groups. You know, we had like three cuts we're going to play for the BRT.
Well, you don't talk about it often enough.
Well, we're going to be talking about it all the time.
None of us, the buses rolled out in, what, August? So more than a month and a half ago, probably. Yeah. And none of us have ridden them yet.
And we have every right to complain about it.
Well, we want to wait until the remote gear is ready to go till we can actually do the show from a bus.
But we've been waiting for Sam to at least organize the
intro.
Okay,
so you
want to
do first
BRT.
Impressions on the
yes,
remote show.
Yes, that's
all right,
exactly
all
it.
Right.
You got it now.
So always have those ready. Because
there must be a way. Can't we take a little portable, you know, battery, you know, charger, generator thing?
I don't think so.
Take
no?
a generator
well,
on the
you
bus?
Know, what, don't we have? not a gas generator. No. like those, you know what I'm talking about. What
yeah,
do you call
I know
them?
What, yeah,
what
yeah.
do you call them? What
like a power inverter or something, battery pack? I don't know.
That, yeah, battery pack.
Yeah. You could just call in with a cell phone. I don't know.
We can land a man on the moon, but yeah. we can't get on a bus and broadcast.
Now, we're just speculating here. They may have outlets on the bus.
Well, it's Sam an
electrical.
Said they didn't.
It's an electrical bus. Huge batteries on those
I
electrical buses.
I bet you Catherine
buses.
Is screaming at her radio right now about yeah. this. I wonder
well,
if she's, I wonder
well,
if she's
she
ridden
is.
The bus yet.
Well, I don't know.
I hope she has.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's make this a top priority.
Okay,
let's try to get
it's at the top of my to-do list okay. after the show today.
Okay.
All right. Well,
figure
I,
it out.
I think that's great. That's okay. fantastic.
You're our technical advisor, so, you know, it's on you, Sam.
Yeah.
Get it figured
that's
out.
That's right.
It's okay. So you're putting a lot of faith in me, Gordy.
Well, we you know, let's get in touch with Dylan Brogan again and you know, see what he says about doing this.
Sure.
I mean, there,
sure.
there ought to be a way.
There should
There's
be a way
be
to
a way.
Do this, yeah. Or at least get the terminals to work so you can buy a ticket to get on the bus in the first place. Okay. On State Street, I think that would be, like, you know, automatic.
Maybe,
if something's
maybe
wrong on
should,
State Street, get it fixed.
Maybe you should become, like, you know, in the 1930s, like a train hitchhiker, you should do that with the buses here. Just sneak onto them when no one's
yeah,
looking.
Yeah, that's right. No yeah. one's going to know.
Catherine says we're trolling her in the shower.
Oh, that's why. Well, let's keep going.
Okay. Did you find the music, Sam?
He's I not, didn't even, I didn't even bother
look.
To look for it yet.
He doesn't care.
Never mind.
He doesn't care. But
it.
Be ready next time.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
All right. Let's get to something here I thought was fairly interesting. And you know, we're talking about politics here, usually sometimes not now, but now we
Now? Are we doing it now?
This is a very, now? Very easy and great segue that I managed to work here. The Harris campaign, you know, what they have done is magical in Wisconsin. They have gotten a few other Republicans to endorse the Harris-Walz ticket. And
they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, there are conservatives just hopping on board the Harris-Walz train.
That's it.
Yeah, it's Charlie Sykes who is responsible for turning MAGAs into what they are today. He's regretful, but I understand that. Then there's somebody else, a judge. And then there's Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, who didn't want Act 10. He's a good guy. He is. He's a very moderate guy. We like him. Mm-hmm. Todd Albaugh used to work for him.
Right.
And let me just say this about these Republicans jumping on board the Harris-Walz train. Okay. Let me. I'm just gonna put it out there.
Okay.
These are still Republicans, still people I desperately dislike, and they have done horrible things to Wisconsin. And just for fun, we have wondered, gee, wouldn't it be great if we just had the Republican Party back again? And I was thinking, you know, no. No, that isn't a good thing. Never liked them. Never will.
Boy, you must be fun at parties.
Well, they're,
what,
they're
whatever
nice,
happened
they're,
to the idea of compromise,
they're,
John?
They're good people. They're nice people away from politics. But when they get into that political arena, and we're talking about cream of the crop conservatives here who rise to the top and become politicians, they are hardcore, and they're not good for Wisconsin. They're not good for politics. They're not good for the nation. They've held us up. They have tried to destroy everything that the other party has done only because the other party wants to do it, not because it's either good for the nation or good for the public. They don't want to solve problems. They want to carry out their agenda, and that became very obvious during the Scott Walker administration. It was outrageous. They did not care about solving one problem. One of the big examples, of course, was highways. They didn't fund highways at all. They let the highways go, and
yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, John, I mean, don't you think that, though, let's just project into the future.
Okay.
Let's say that Kamala Harris wins.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then it's finally decided in the courts or whatever. You know, we get beyond that. She's inaugurated. Right. She's the president. Don't you think that some of those Republicans that you're talking about, mm-hmm. don't you think that they're going to want to come back after voting for maybe Kamala Harris and be more moderate? They'll want to bring back the best parts in their minds of what the Republican Party stands for, the Eisenhower Republican, the Lincoln Republicans, all the middle of the road Republicans.
Well, I can see
somewhat conservative Republicans.
I can see that you have the rose colored liberal Democrat progressive glasses on again.
Don't you think they'll just want to banish all the Trump Republicans from the party completely and just
that will
not let them
that will happen
take the agenda?
Yes. That will happen.
Yeah.
But those hardcore conservative Republican values, mm-hmm. they're going to stay there for a long time. They're not going to change those. And, you know, I don't know what the saying is, beware of what you wish for.
Right.
But don't wish for the Republicans to come back. Why would we wish that?
Do you want a one-party state with the Democrats, John?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I want a dictatorship and...
Don't you think it's different, though, at the local levels, the local, you know, like city and town and county levels?
Yeah.
You know, these Democrats and Republicans, they have to get together and work on roads and, you know, the common things that need to get done.
Well, that's what I was saying at the time when Scott Walker was governor, and that never happened.
It never happened.
It never happened. Okay.
We got a text here from Dan. He says, Scott Walker's not a classic Republican. We need Republicans like Tommy Thompson's time as governor.
Yeah, well,
he's Dem and Doze.
He's long gone. God, he's a MAGA now.
Yeah. He is. Yeah. It's surprising, actually.
Yeah, it is surprising. We are trying to get him on the show.
Yeah, we're reaching out to
Tommy Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to find out what happened. I really do. I want to ask him.
I know.
What made the conversion?
Yes.
What was that tipping point for you to become a MAGA?
Got him coming up.
Yeah. All right. We've got the great dictator, Charlie Chaplin, his message in a moment.
Stay with us on the John and Gordy Show.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we'll go to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie and her guest co-host are joined by Joe Fox from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin to talk about the work they're doing to get out the youth vote.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? Welcome back. Or welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Thursday in the 3 o'clock hour, so I'm joined by a very special guest host, two-time 5th District Congressional candidate Tom Paulsiewicz. And Tom and I are very privileged and excited to be joined by Joe Fox, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, to talk about the youth vote and what we're doing to turn out folks on college campuses this November. Welcome, Joe. It's a real privilege to have you.
Thank you both for having me.
So tell us, how crucial do you and Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin think the younger vote is to this election outcome?
Oh, gosh, extremely important, especially in Wisconsin. I don't have the exact numbers on me, but I believe there's around 300,000 eligible voters within the college age demographics within the state of Wisconsin. That narrow number can potentially decide this election, not just our federal elections, but also our local and statewide elections. So the stakes could not be higher, and the youth vote is more important than ever this cycle.
How are you making sure that especially students know where to vote based on where they go to school or, you know, based on where they live? Because there's a lot of misinformation being fed to students, and I think just to try to keep them from voting. But how do you cut through that, and how do you help them understand where to vote?
Yeah, the key way that we handle that here at Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin is we give power directly to the students. We run this program called Planned Parenthood Generation Action. These are registered student organizations on different college campuses across the state of Wisconsin. Currently, we have chapters at Alverno College. We're starting one up in Carthage, at UW-Parkside, UW-Milwaukee, and UW-Madison. And we're looking to expand it throughout the state even further. And basically, we pay college organizers to go onto their campus, talk with their peers about election issues, especially reproductive rights for this election cycle. And then we give them the tools and the resources to facilitate these conversations in meaningful ways. We're not looking for these students to basically like read off like basic campaign slogans that we got from our Democratic nominees that we know are going to support reproductive access. We're looking for them to have like real, thoughtful, and intentional conversations about what does reproductive access look like? What does reproductive justice look like? And how can we kind of like turn these visions into a reality wherever their communities may be?
Folks, if you're wondering about some of the logistical operations of voting, whether it's voting early, voting absentee, drop boxes, mail-in, what sort of identification you can use, what sort of proof of residency you have to provide, I am literally going to go through this stuff point by point on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. So mark your calendars. I'm going to do it for about an hour. I want to spend a goodly amount of time going through this. You're going to want to get out, again, your sharpened pencils, take a few notes, post about it, share it. We're going to go through all those mechanics. Joe, when I've talked to men that are already engaged with reproductive freedom and these issues, what I hear most frequently, be they cisgendered, hetero, queer identifying, they are identifying with the fact that every single person's civil rights and our baseline freedoms can only be measured in this country by the measuring stick of how are, do we protect, preserve, and defend the civil rights of every single one of us. And that's the derogation of a woman's right to bodily autonomy and reproductive freedom challenges the baseline civil rights of every American citizen, no matter how you identify. So that to me, and frankly, do you love any women? Do you know any women out there that you love and care about? Because if so, this is about you too in that very way as well. Joe, a question for you. When you look at this next election cycle, how important do you think reproductive freedom rates for younger voters, both men and women?
Well, pretty strongly. It's within, I believe, through the Associated Press, I believe they said that it's around one of the top issues. 2 in 5 respondents reported that that's one of the main 3 issues that's on the line for them for this election cycle. So abortion, I mean, it's always been a hot topic within our politics, but now more than ever, it is the most important that it could ever be. We have the potential to flip our state assembly and shortly our state senate so that we can finally get legislation on like passed into laws within the state of Wisconsin that can enshrine these protections. It shouldn't just be Planned Parenthood goes and files a petition to the state Supreme Court of Wisconsin and says this should be a constitutionally protected right. It should be laws that are in place that are making an abortion abundance, dare I say, the ability for people to go to the clinic and know that they can get an abortion appointment lined up for them within the hour, because sometimes like they're not going to be able to have 24 hours available to them, as abortion clinics are so few and far in between in the state of Wisconsin. It also looks like we need to make sure that we have responsible programs in place that can make sure that people are able to take care of children, that the option to become a parent is widely accessible to them. So when we talk about abortion access, that's just one step of the way. People are also thinking about, how is it going to be easy for me to be a parent in my community? So when I talk about the abortion conversation, I'm also bringing in other aspects of reproductive justice, such as how are we making sure our communities are taken care of? Because those issues are all interconnected with each other, and they should always be talked about in tandem.
Joe, I'm giving you a virtual hug across the interwebs right now, because what you said in your last response is the actual heart, both literally and figuratively, of the matter. And that is, reproductive freedom also requires a society that is organized to support the choice to have the child, that understands that we must make investments in prenatal care, in postnatal care, that we don't need to be dumping women off of Badger Care right after they've given birth. That is an abomination. That we need affordable childcare. And all of that is part of what reproductive freedom means. Can we imagine a world where a woman doesn't need to worry about having healthcare after she gives birth, that doesn't have to fear whether her baby will be hungry or will get pediatric care? That starts to be a world where maybe women are not so afraid to have the child, where we have created communities that lift us all up and ensure these basic building blocks of human dignity for all. So again, a huge virtual hug to you, Joe Fox, from me. Tom, last question. We got under a minute left.
I'll just make one quick statement, and Joe, you can chime in on this, but I know a lot of young people who are putting off having a family because of just the environment that we're in today. And they're just looking around going, people do not value my body, my reproductive rights. So why would I bring another human being into this environment where I don't know what's going to happen to them?
Thank you so much.
You said it perfectly.
Thanks so much. That is Joe Fox of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. We're going to come back with my co-host this hour, Tom Paulswitz, to finish it out. Keep it locked here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Next up is Matt Nair on Air. And this week, Jane and Greg welcomed on Human Rights Campaign President Kelly Robinson to talk about the work that they are doing in Wisconsin, as well as the importance of getting out the vote in November.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sam Davison in for Calvinator, who is taking a few very well-deserved days off. Thank you so much for joining us. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Just a reminder, tomorrow night will be the one and only debate between U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde. That is happening tomorrow night. You can catch our coverage starting tomorrow at 6:50 with our civic media news and political teams. The debate itself starts at 7, and then afterwards we'll have analysis again from our wonderful civic media news team. That debate between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde, our coverage starts tomorrow night at 6:50. Very excited to have our next guest join us. She is the president of the Human Rights Campaign. Kelly Robinson is here. Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for being here.
So happy to be here. Thanks, Jane.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with the concerns of the HRC. Should Donald Trump be elected to a second term? What are your biggest considerations?
Sure. Well, we are the largest LGBTQ civil rights organization in the country. And I was actually just in Racine, Wisconsin this past week talking to supporters. And when you think about this election, it's not just about sets of candidates. It's really about two fundamentally different visions for our country. A vision where LGBTQ plus people are seen as human, or one where we are not. A vision where our rights are able to expand and increase, or one where you see more things happening like Roe v. Wade getting overturned by the Supreme Court, happening to things like the Obergefell decision. This is really serious, what's at stake for us. And as I travel the country, particularly when I'm in the Midwest and in Wisconsin, people are really clear about the stakes, because at the end of the day, it's our families that are standing in the crosshairs of this election. And I think that's also what's motivating people to turn out.
Kelly, for people who aren't familiar, explain the Obergefell decision and the discussion around that.
Yeah, and people should know this. So when Roe v. Wade was overturned in 2022, Clarence Thomas wrote a concurrence. And in that concurrence, he said that next the court should revisit landmark decisions like Obergefell, Windsor, and Lawrence. These are cases that have fundamentally established rights for LGBTQ plus people in this country. Obergefell was decided in 2014 that made marriage equality the law of the land. Lawrence decriminalized same-sex relationships in this country. These are really pivotal pieces of legislation. So, you know, I really think that for anybody listening, this is the first time that we've had a Supreme Court that's been in the business of taking away rights and not expanding them. Whoever we elect to president in this next election cycle, the Supreme Court is on the ballot. This person might get to appoint two or three more judges to the bench. That could fundamentally change what our rights look like in this country for generations to come.
And I don't think that that was the vision of the founding fathers, to have one political party be stacking the Supreme Court for the next 40 to 50 years. If it hadn't been for Mitch McConnell preventing President Obama from making an appointment to the court, there was all kinds of stuff going on that should not have happened. And you're right, if Donald Trump gets elected to his second term, he could replace Clarence Thomas, and Sam Alito could decide to retire, and Donald Trump can appoint two more extreme 40-year-olds who are going to be there forever.
Yeah, Jane, you are preaching today, because look, when we talk about this election, it's really the fundamental pillars of our democracy that are at stake. And I think that that should matter for any of us, especially those of us that haven't always had full rights in this country, right? This is going to be pivotal. You know, you have Donald Trump saying, he said this the other day, that he would use his powers as president to go after his political opponents, that he would turn the U.S. military on United States citizens. He's even said out loud that, don't worry, if you elect him, it'll be the last election you ever have to worry about. We have to take him at his word. These are real threats to the fundamental principles of democracy, to the ability of all of us to have our voices heard. This is really an urgent time where, regardless of what party you follow or feel affiliation with, this is a moment to show up for our country and for our democracy.
Kelly, one of the things that I find so very troubling, Donald Trump just spoke in Detroit at an economic forum, or maybe it was the one in Chicago that he was at, and a reporter asked some of the attendees whether or not they believe the things that he says, because among the other things that you listed, Trump has also said that he will go after journalists, and he wants to be able to pull the broadcasting licenses of any broadcasting company that isn't nice enough to him or criticizes him. And so many of these attendees say, he doesn't mean that. He's not really going to do that. I'm amazed that they are willing to support a man who they believe does not tell the truth. Why would you support him on anything then?
It's scary. And I think that he's shown that he means what he says. You know, I remember back in 2016 when he was elected, I was actually working at Planned Parenthood then. I spent about 13 years running the political operation for Planned Parenthood. And I remember that when he got into office, people said, no. He'll never do work to overturn Roe v. Wade. He would never do that. He's just talking to get elected. But guess where we are today? So anyone that thinks that you shouldn't believe what's coming out of his mouth, just talk to all the women that are trying to get abortion access right now. Talk to the trans folks who are threatened to be kicked out of the military. Talk to people who have actually, talk to the people in Springfield, Ohio, who are now having so many threats and bomb threats in their schools because of the lies he said out loud. This is a moment where we have to take him at his word and understand how urgent and serious these threats are.
And it's interesting that you said that right before you joined us. We were talking about his Univision town hall yesterday, where that man asked him about why are you putting these people, you know, these Haitians in Springfield at risk? And Donald Trump essentially said, well, I saw it reported. So again, we're going to give the nuclear codes to the man who just repeats what he hears and things that he sees without vetting or investigating or making sure the information is actually accurate. That should terrify everyone.
Absolutely. And look, Americans deserve better than that, right? And I think that what we're seeing when I talk to voters is they see through this. They don't want somebody that has concepts of a plan. They want somebody that has an actual plan to help us in our lives, because people are experiencing some real stuff. I mean, surviving in this economy is hard. Trying to buy your first home is hard. Sending your kid to school has a level of anxiety because you don't know if they're going to make it home again. We need real leadership right now. And that's why I'm confident that in this election, people are going to turn out because they know what's at stake.
If you're just joining us, Kelly Robinson is our guest. She's the president of the Human Rights Campaign, a very big advocate on behalf of our LGBTQ plus citizens. Greg, you had a question.
I want to go back to something we were talking about with regard to revisiting older decisions as well as what Dobbs did. And when one of the things that you noticed the people who were pro-Dobbs were saying, don't worry, it sends it back to the states. It's about states' rights. States' rights, states. That's all they want to talk about. But I think in today's day and age, it's important to realize that it's for the federal government to be in control of certain things, and things like access to healthcare, being able to love who you want to love, live with who you want to live with, marry who you want to marry, is not something that makes us sit better when we say, oh, it just the states will decide, because we know what the states are going to decide in certain areas of the country. I don't want to stereotype, but they've let us know through their legislation. What do you say to people who, Kelly, who say, well, it's about a states' rights thing?
You know, I think that there are certain inalienable rights that we all deserve as Americans, right? We all deserve to have our full humanity, no matter what state it is that you live in. So that's one. And then two, they're lying. I mean, just look at Project 2025. They are calling for a national abortion ban as yes. part of that, right? Yeah. So this, what they're saying here is just, you know, I always say this, if Donald Trump's lips are moving, he is lying, right? He's not being with the American people. So we have to make sure that we really do take, again, them at their word. What they wrote in Project 2025, it's not a wish list. It is a plan that they intend to implement if they take power again.
And for folks who have friends or family members within the LGBTQ plus community, like you said, Kelly, take this to heart. And the other thing, since we're going to talk about states' rights and going back to states' rights, so if Indiana makes gay marriage illegal, then a couple from Wisconsin where it's legal can get arrested if they go to Indiana because they're breaking the law because they're married. I mean, these are the kinds of implications that we haven't even looked at yet. They already want to stop women from crossing state lines to get health care.
Yeah. And, you know, it really is an interconnected attack. One thing I will say, having the Respect for Marriage Act as a law of the land is helpful, right? So you still have this federal protection in place so that if you are married in Wisconsin through federal law, it has to be respected no matter what state that you're in. But that's only federal benefits. That doesn't count in terms of state benefits and practices. But the other thing that I just want to pull the thread across is don't think that they're coming for one of us. They are coming for every single one of us all at the same time. The same people that paid for the case that went before the Supreme Court, the Dobbs case that overturned Roe v. Wade, the Alliance Defending Freedom, they were the same group that paid for the 303 creative decision to also go before the Supreme Court. That was a case that was decided in 2023 that created a legal loophole for discrimination against the LGBTQ plus community. So follow the money, follow the people, look at Project 2025. This is an interconnected network of people who have one goal, to consolidate power in this country for the few and to roll back the rights that we've gained, not over the last 4 years or 40 years, but truly over the last 400.
One of the things we talk about on the show a lot, Kelly, is the fact that when we have callers who call and say that, you know, they love Donald Trump and they're MAGA strong and all those things. And one of the things I remember, especially in situations like this with regard to Project 2025, is that's fine. You support him now, but he changes the goalposts every time. And when will you not be enough? When will you not be enough of a supporter for Donald Trump? Because it'll happen. Everybody he brought into his first cabinet were the best people ever. And now they're all losers because they don't support him. And his followers think they're losers because he said so. So, yeah, you can support him now. And you might think what's coming out of the Supreme Court is great, but it might hit a point where they're like, well, maybe not everyone should have guns because that's dangerous, isn't it? So that's something we always talk about. And that's what I'm hearing from you, Kelly, is that, you know, look at where the money is and look who's doing the work. They're consolidating power, and that power doesn't always include individuals like us.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, anytime I apply for a job, I always have to do a reference check where they want to know the, you know, how it was from the people that work closest to me. Let me tell you, if Donald Trump had to apply for this job as president the way that we do, he would not get it. Can you imagine the reference check Mike Pence would give him? Can you imagine? I mean, no former president has endorsed him to be president of the United States again. His heads of security and defense have called him a threat to the nation. I mean, look at the people who are closest around him and what they are saying about him. Look, again, I don't care what your party ideology is. Right now, there's something bigger that's at stake. Our humanity is on the line. Our nation is on the line. The democracy that so many generations have fought for is on the line right now. There's something urgent and patriotic for us all to do to make sure that our kids, right, and our kids' kids actually have a chance at experiencing this great democracy that we've been a part of. But that decision is in front of us right now.
And I don't think, Greg and Kelly, that we can hit this enough, that Project 2025 will affect you, even if today you consider yourself the perfect Christian, the perfect whatever, the perfect straight person. There will come a time where they're going to continue to whittle down and whittle down and whittle down, and eventually your flavor of Christianity is not going to be Christian enough. Those are the kinds of things I think that are implicit within that document.
I think that's exactly right. And that's the fear, right? And I think that this is also an opportunity. And the thing that I see happening, and I saw Kamala Harris traveling. She was, you know, in the birthplace of the Republican Party, right? She was on
Ripon, Wisconsin.
Yeah, she was on Call Her Daddy. I mean, she is really building a coalition of people that I think understand that. So as, you know, terrified as I am about what could be on November 6th, I think the thing that gives me hope is I believe that there are more people, more good people that care about the wellness of our country, that believe that our fates are intertwined, than there are that aren't. And what they are fighting against, what Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are so afraid of, is a future that has already arrived. We are a more diverse nation than we've ever been before. We're more out and queer nation than we've ever been before. And that is a strength of this country and not a deficit. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz lean into that. And I think people understand that there's something hopeful that can be on the other side.
And the food in our country is better than it has ever been before because of all the diversity. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Kelly Robinson is our guest, the president of the Human Rights Campaign. We're going to take a short break. We will be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrapping up this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Todd Alba Show. This week, Todd was joined by Trygve Olsen of the Lincoln Project to interview Ari Berman, author of Minority Rule, The Right-Wing Attack on the Will of the People and the Fight to Resist It. They talk about the origins of Trumpism and how Wisconsin has been a key testing ground for these extreme ideologies. To hear all of these shows and more, download the Civic Media app, available on the Google Play and Apple App Store. Missed your favorite show? Check out every show in podcast form on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, here's Todd Alba.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Maggie Dawn takes over these airwaves after CBS or ABC News, depending upon which station you are listening to across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are joined, our ongoing contributor and co-host on Wednesdays, Mr. Trygve Olsen, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. We are honored to have our guest this half hour. He is the author. As a matter of fact, we just got a text from a listener here on WMDX in Madison, said, I came in late. What is the name of the book that he's talking about? Thank you so very much for asking. It is called Minority Rule, The Right-Wing Attack on the Will of the People and the Fight to Resist It. You can do like I did and go to the West Side, Barnes & Noble, and get it right away. Or I'm sure you could get it on the old Amazon or many other places wherever you buy your books. It's called Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman. He is also a voting rights reporter for Mother Jones and appears on various network and cable shows across the country. And he's going to be here in Madison this Friday. You can see him in person. Are you going to sign books, Ari?
I will. Yep.
Look at that. Get your book autographed at the Wisconsin.
I'll even talk to you if you buy one.
Oh, my gosh. What a guy. Wisconsin Book Festival. It is here at the Madison Central Library. Literally, I can see the roof where I'm standing outside of our windows right now. From 6 until 7 p.m., Wisconsin Book Festival at the Madison Central Library from 6 until 7. Any need to pre-register, Ari?
No. Just show up there, and I think it'll be a good crowd.
All right, we're looking for.
Are you going to buy him some beer and curds, Todd?
We'll buy Ari anything he wants. Sure.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to the old fashioned afterwards. I'm going to get yes. a $5 brandy old fashioned, some curds.
We literally yesterday was National Cheese Curd Day, and we had old fashioned cheese curds right here yesterday. So you picked a good spot.
Do you want to come on a tour of Wisconsin with Todd and I in addition to right before the elections?
I know you guys know all the spots. I know you do.
We'll love to. We'll talk to you.
Show you some good places.
Yeah, we will. Only about 5.5-6 minutes left here, guys. I want to get to this because Ari, you brought it up going into the break. Trygve, you mention Walker all the time, and we joke around a little bit, but it's also very serious. It was during his reign when I left the Republican Party working for my former boss, Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz. There are people in this state, because I've talked to them, I've heard them. There are people in Janesville and in Green Bay who no longer golf in golf foursomes or go to Thanksgiving dinners because of division that Scott Walker created. Go ahead, and then Ari.
Yeah, I was saying to Ari during the break, you know, what I talk about Scott Walker a lot, obviously, as listeners know, you know, and what he did to the state. But what I had never really thought of until Ari mentioned it is how much that became a model for other places ideologically, when in reality, I think Scott was just doing it because he wanted to be president of the United States since Badger Boy's state, and it was convenient to get him mentioned on Rush Limbaugh and Fox News and the places that you need to be covered.
Yep.
And that is such an important point, because in Wisconsin, it's just not who we are, and in places that are more right-wing, it's become something even sort of more toxic and probably played a role in the rise of Trump, Ari.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think those are all really good points. I mean, if you look back at Wisconsin history, Teddy Roosevelt praised Wisconsin as a laboratory for democratic reform. Mm-hmm. It gave rise to policies like Social Security and unemployment insurance and collective bargaining rights for unions. And it really personified the idea that despite, no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And of course, there were exceptions to that, like Joe McCarthy. But generally speaking, there was this Wisconsin idea, right? I mean, it's quite literally called the Wisconsin idea with regards to public education. And Walker had a very different idea. His idea was that government and democratic institutions should work for this conservative elite instead, and that it should represent people like the Bradley Foundation and the U-Lines and the people that were pouring all the money in to prop up this extreme agenda. And they knew very clearly that if they could do it in Wisconsin, they could pull it off anywhere. Because if you could go after unions in the state that gave birth to collective bargaining rights for unions, if you could roll back voter participation in a state that was always neck and neck with Minnesota for number one in voter turnout, if you could gerrymander the state so that there was no competition, a state that was known for political competition, then you could export those policies anywhere. And Walker might not have intended to do that, but certainly once he got going, he realized that. And then the amount of money that went into Wisconsin, you look at the things they did, these are all things that radicalized the Republican Party. And the reason why I write so much about the post-2010 takeover of states like Wisconsin is because I believe this laid the groundwork for Trump. That if the Republican Party had not already radicalized on the state level, they would not have been open to a figure like Trump, right?
Yeah.
Because if you have already basically turned your back on democracy, if you then say, I'm going to support someone like Donald Trump for president. So I think too often when we write the histories of Trump, it's always focused on one guy, right? And right. the unique threat he poses to the democratic system. And of course, Trump is a unique threat, but he's not alone in terms of the radicalization against democracy we've seen. And Wisconsin has played such a big part in that story.
Ari Berman, the book is Minority Rule, 45 seconds. What do you hope people at the end of the day, the big thing to take away from this book?
Well, I hope they take away that the problem we're facing is bigger than Trump, it's deeper than Trump, and people have to do something about it at both the national and the state level. So I think it's really important to pay attention to the states and then pay attention all the way up and down the ballot to the states. Because as I said, it was the state legislature in Wisconsin that was so much of a driver of the radicalization against democracy there that I hope people understand that what happens at the bottom of the ticket has as much impact as what happens at the top of the ticket as well.
Ari Berman, great author, also with Mother Jones. The book is entitled Minority Rule. Get it wherever you get books. Also, stop in and see him at the Wisconsin Book Festival at the Madison Central Library this Friday from 6 until 7. We'll put all that information in our show notes. Ari, thank you so very much. Can't wait to have you out here in Wisconsin.
Todd Trigvi, great to see you. Look forward to coming out tomorrow. Yes.
Our pleasure. Trigvi Olson, thanks to you as well. Pat Kreitlow and Mr. Kelly Call, great show. Mr. Zommers always does a great job on the board. And most of all, thanks to all of you for listening. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.